I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And quickly, I'd just like to point out that he said anything could be great. That not anything is great.
Yeah, especially us.
And we're joined by a longtime friend, Barnaby Wayne fan. How you doing, Barnaby?
Very good. Glad to be here again with you guys. I still miss our perch over the runway from a few years ago.
We're in withdrawal.
Still glad to see you guys.
So, electric aircrafts and STOLL, that's not something you would think to go together.
Well, it's an interesting combination. You know, Brian Seeley, who runs the CAFE Foundation, asked me to come up to the electric aircraft convention in Santa Rosa earlier this year. And, you know, part of the vision that they're playing with is the idea of very quiet, short takeoff and landing aircraft for inner city transportation. So the basic idea was that electrics might provide that quiet propulsion system. But, you know, there's other interesting possibilities because, you know, an electric propulsion system can do some things that a conventional piston engine can't, because you can distribute propulsion and things like that. But it's an interesting problem when you start thinking about it from an engineering viewpoint. I mean, obviously, yesterday you got to see what, you know, the conventional approach to STOLL, which is lots of wing, lots of power, not much weight.
And full back stick.
And full back stick, yeah, well. Very briefly.
Yeah.
But, you know, the really interesting thing about the STOLL problem is short takeoff and landing is not hard. Lots of wing, lots of power. The hard part is getting any kind of cruise performance between the short takeoff and the short landing.
Right.
You know, because if you think about it, when you get up and away, you want the wing loading of a Cirrus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on takeoff and landing, you want, you know, wing loading of an ultralight.
Right.
And so that means that you start trying to think in terms of some pretty sophisticated high lift systems and also keeping all that thrust happening.
Yeah. I heard one solution I think is novel, telescoping wings.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things. I mean, all kinds of variable geometry. I mean, changing wing area. Essentially, that's what flaps do. I mean, if you really think about it, a Fowler flap, when you do that aft translation before you deflect it, it's adding wing area. So it's a it's an early form of a variable area wing. So that's one approach. The other approach, and this is where electrics get interesting, is some form of powered lift. If you look at like the STOLL, you know, cub-like airplanes that are out there, you know, most of them seem to now have multiple slotted flaps, but they're particularly putting them on the inboard portion of the wing where they're in the prop wash. So they're actually getting a lot of lift by deflecting the slipstream. One thing that looks very interesting with electrics, of course, is that you can start distributing multiple motors across the whole span. So you could, for example, build an airplane with like 16 propellers along the leading edge and have it blowing flaps for the full span of the airplane. And with an electric, you can do that without a complicated transmission. I mean, you know, you think about it. I mean, to some extent, that's what the V-22 does. But the amount of mechanical things and stuff that they have going on inside that wing is pretty amazing. I mean, it's amazing they got it all to work. But, you know, with electrics, you have that possibility of just basically running a power bus through the wing and then having all these motors. And if one fails, it's no big deal.
Well, how about just literally a pair of lift fans buried in the wings?
Lift fans, I mean, you know, if you take a look at powered lift, it's interesting because, or making a lot of lift, you've basically got three approaches. One is what I call passive high lift, and that is trying to deflect the outer airstream more. And that's what multiple slotted flaps do. You know, you're just grabbing the air that the airplane's flying through and trying to turn it even more. And then there's, you know, kind of a mixed flow situation where you're using some powered lift to control the power slipstream from a prop or boundary layer control or something like that to control the airflow over the wing. And part of it is thrust and part of it is the outer airflow. And then there's direct lift, which is what a lift fan situation would do. The real problem with direct lift is that you need tons of power. And because the lift you get is a function of the disc loading, you know, the smaller that disc, the more power you need and the bigger the slipstream velocities are. So, you know, a powered lift system that's like a lift fan airplane just needs a ridiculous amount of horsepower. And, you know, that's part of one of the problems with this vision of kind of a lift fan flying car. I mean, imagine it's 5:30 in the morning and you're getting into your, you know, electric VTOL flying car, lift fan flying car to go to work. And you fire up 800 or 900 horsepower of, you know, vacuum cleaner with an attitude, you know, and the slipstream blasts down on your runway and blows your neighbor's flower beds across the street. I mean, you do that once.
That probably won't go over big.
You do that once or twice, and they'll probably ask you to find a more conventional way of getting to work. So, you know, and that's the big virtue of rotorcraft, of course, is that you have the very, very low disc loading. And as you can see, you know, kind of an ultimate example of that with Jay Carter's new Cartercopter that's out there in front of the HAI exhibit.
Yeah, the problem there is inherent that there's that speed issue. But
well,
he's working on
Jay's got a handle on that one, I think. But But you know, if you're willing to get some speed, you know, 20, 30 knots rolling takeoff, then a lot of these mixed flow kind of things where you have blowing over the wing caused by propellers or deflected props or boundary layer control or things like that work quite well. And as long as you don't require true vertical takeoff or true vertical landing, you can do a lot with
What about tilt rotor? I mean, with an electric motor, it becomes easy.
Well, tilt rotor, but once again, if you're talking direct lift, tilt wing or partial tilt wing looks very interesting also.
Right.
You know, because if I'm talking about blowing the flaps, if I now can put maybe 15 or 20 degrees of incidence into the wing to get a little bit more lift and get the thrust vectored up, you know, it becomes a mixed solution. And then how much you do with each one becomes that very interesting task for the designer that you'd optimize as things went on.
Yeah, but with all the computer horsepower available, you can literally just program that.
Well,
you can program the wing to what airspeed it's going to start doing.
Maybe you can. you know, there's this marvelous saying that comes out of, I think, RAND Corporation, that all mathematical models are wrong, even though some are useful.
Yeah.
You know, it still takes some intelligence to program that computer.
Oh, I agree.
And, you know, I mean, to me, you know, coming out of the EAA tradition and the home-built tradition, of course, I always try to look for a simpler solution that can be theoretically at least operated without, you know.
So like a flap lever.
A flap lever or a couple of levers or something, but not having to depend on, you know, the software to save your life.
Well, I was just thinking of something. Going back to the electric aircraft with 16 motors on the wings, couldn't you put those motors on a pylon so that all the prop washes on the top of the wing wouldn't have the same effect?
You could do that. The other one that intrigues me, if you go back in history, Dornier built an experimental STOL airplane called the DO-29, which was a twin pusher, but the props were actually on the trailing edge of the flaps. So when you deflected the flaps, you deflected the propellers too. And it intrigues me, the idea of putting distributed motors that way, because then you deflect the flaps and the motors are blowing down, but they're sucking the air over the wing first.
Right.
So they become like a jet. So the slipstream becomes like a jet flap, augmenting the lift of the flap. And the DO-15 actually got down to 15 miles an hour in level flight with a, you know, wing loading up, you know, in a typical light plane wing loading. So that's pretty intriguing to me. Now, they had a complicated transmission to do that, but with an electric, maybe that would be a whole different game.
It would be mechanically very simple to do.
Yeah, and you know, so that those are the kinds of things that I got, you know, Brian got me thinking about. Then there's a really interesting high lift system that was tested by NASA in the 70s, I think, which used a rotating cylinder at the knuckle of a normal flap. You just spin the cylinder really fast so that it'll grab the air and make it make the turn.
Right.
And they did that on an OV.
Coanda effect, didn't it?
In a sense, yeah. It's almost a reverse Coanda effect. Instead of blowing over the surface, you're whizzing the surface past the air.
Mm-hmm.
But they tested it on an OV-10, and they got it to fly remarkably slowly. And as a matter of fact, what limited the speeds that they were willing to fly the airplane wasn't how much lift they could make. It's that the original OV-10 tail was too small to maintain control down below a certain
speed.
Once again, complicated hydraulic system running the cylinders on that airplane, but it'd be dead simple to have a couple of electric motors spinning the cylinders
right,
on something like that.
Right.
So there's a lot of interesting possibilities. And, you know, in a sense, you look at the electric, I look at the electric the same way you look at a lot of other things. When some new technology comes along, it's not just what can I do with it right now, but what does it enable? And one of the really intriguing things is you can look back at things that were done many, many years ago, and maybe some new technology comes along and you can do something that was proved possible a long time ago but not worth doing. And now with that
right.
new technology, it's the enabler, and suddenly it becomes
a
worthwhile
feasible.
Thing to do. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
The Culver channel wing comes to mind.
Yeah.
Custer channel wing, all kinds of things like that.
Custer.
And
Culver.
There was
Culver is Custer.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Custard, not Custer.
Okay.
It's, I mean, Culver's, but...
Wait a minute. Why am I thinking about a battle out in the Midwest?
But, anyway.
one of the other things that you could do, too, is you could use a conventional aircraft piston engine up front to provide your motive force, and you could run, a heavy-duty generator or alternator off of that for
yeah.
your electric
well,
assist.
There's a lot of people looking at that notion as a hybrid,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of intriguing things you can do with a hybrid. You can use it for high lift. There's also people who are looking at the idea of a hybrid for climb supplement.
Right.
I mean, if I've got the engine size to get a reasonable rate of climb and I've got a motor that, you know, battery system that can maybe give me an extra 20-30% for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, now I've got my improved rate of climb to get up and away. I've got something that can maybe, you know, drag me to the runway if the piston engine has a problem. It changes the size of the piston engine. So that's another thing that people are looking at. It's not clear yet how the payoff is. But right. Once again, it's one of those intriguing things worth looking at. And as the motors get better and the battery technology gets better and that whole booster system gets lighter and lighter and lighter, it starts looking more and more attractive. You know, it's the kind of thing where in the days of lead acid batteries and ferrite magnets, it's, oh, come on now. You know, now with the motors we have and LiPo batteries, it's like, yeah, this is interesting. And, you know, when you get the next generation of energy density in the storage system.
I have a funny feeling I know what Barnaby's next project is.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nobody knows what my next project is, including me, for that matter.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us again.
My pleasure.
It's always interesting to have him here.
We just got to get more time with you, Barnaby, because we could run for a couple of days with this stuff.
Well, that's up to you guys. I'm at your disposal with your schedule. So
All right. We'll have to work on that then.
All right.
Very good. I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave, and this is EAA Radio.